What, you got nothing?
I was playing podcast chicken with you.
Oh, I guess I lost then, huh?
Yeah, you did. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for March 25th, 2010. This is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother, Edge Guy.
Yeah, I'm very proud of you. You got the date right in the first try.
Yeah, that's... Shut up. Anyways, so here's what's going on. Show a little bit early. We're going to Boston today, which will be about a 10-hour drive for us. And, you know, we'll be there. So we're going to be busy. So we wanted to put together just a quick show, at least for this week. We might do something in Boston.
Oh, no, we are.
Oh, we are?
I've got all the equipment lined up.
Okay.
We will have, like I said, we're going to have, which will probably go up either late Saturday night or early Sunday at best, maybe even late Sunday night, I really shouldn't say. It's going to be a hodgepodge of packs impressions and stuff we're seeing at the show, and a bunch of squad guys are all going to be there. We'll get some of them on. It's really going to be hard to get into news and... Right. Just normal what you've been playing. So we figured we'll do all that now and then let the pack stuff come later this weekend.
Right. So it's a short show, just the news and our week in gaming. You know, because there's been some news, there's been some stuff to talk about.
Yeah, there's stuff I thought was merited, a proper conversation, so we'll do that.
Right, you know. Nintendo doesn't announce a new system every day.
Right.
So why don't we, with that awesome segue, why don't we get to it?
Sure, so... like, at the middle of the night, well, you know, they are in Japan, Nintendo announced a new 3D handheld, and they are calling it, cleverly enough for the moment, the Nintendo 3DS. So, I mean, that's really all we know, is that the new handheld, and it's somehow 3D. It'll be backwards compatible with the DS and all DSi titles, and it's kind of all we got as far as hard facts go.
I'm assuming that this is going to be like that game we saw. That, remember, we were talking about this the other week. What was that called?
Yeah, it's got like a weird Japanese game name. But okay, well, there are three different interpretations of how 3D is going to work with this. The first is that, which is actually a form of eye tracking, using the DSi's camera to look at you and then figure out where your head is, and then it shifts the perspective, which kind of fakes a 3D effect, kind of like... If you've ever seen that YouTube video of Johnny Lee who did the head tracking with the Wii hack, it's that basic technology. The only reason I don't think that's going to be it is if that's all it is, they can do it with the current DSi. It doesn't merit a new system launch. You know?
Maybe there's some issues with how the DSi does it. I don't know.
Right. The other thought is, this is the less popular one. I think they did confirm that this system will have a motion sensor. There is a couple of iPhone games, notably one called Word Foo, where it uses that motion sensor to sense what angle you're holding the system, and it'll shift the perspective that way. Some people think it might use that.
Does that work really well?
Yeah, it does. Like Word Foo, it's got like letters on dice, and you can actually look around the edges of the dice by twisting the iPhone screen. It's kind of a neat effect.
See, I'd rather be able to move my head, though, and not the screen to fake
right.
3D.
Then the final thought is, oh, crap, I didn't write this down. There's some kind of screen, I think it's Samsung manufactures it, and it's actually used in some cell phones in Japan that allows for true pop-off-the-screen 3D without the need for glasses. And the way it works is it has, like, kind of like an image layer, or not an image layer, like some kind of screen layer over the image that reflects the light just at the right angles so that each eye is seeing technically a distinctly different image. I'm not entirely sure how well this works or anything, but apparently it does work. So this would give you like true like seeing avatar 3D, but without any glasses. Which, you know, is like this technology is expensive.
That's what I'm
saying.
Isn't option 3 really expensive right now?
No, I mean, it's expensive for, like, a TV, but for, like, a 4-inch screen, it's really not. Like I said, it's literally just, like a film layer that goes over the screen that's just directing the light. It's like, you know, the best example I can give that you'll understand, and maybe some other people, you know that when you go see Muppet Vision at Disney Hollywood Studios, and there's that, like, 3D poster?
Yes.
It's basically that. The way that poster works is...
How do you know so much about this poster?
Well, that's based off, you know that, okay, so even...
I know the poster.
Simpler. You know those little, I don't those know. Little, like, stickers? You know those little stickers we used to get as kids that were, like, somehow 3D?
Yeah.
This is basically a more sophisticated version of that technology.
Isn't it just, like, the rigid, like the weird rigid surface
right,
on it?
Right. So imagine that surface, but much finer. Like, there's like, infinitely more bumps than that. And it's basically doing that same effect.
Okay.
So that's how this would work. And like I said, it sounds perfectly feasible, and like apparently it's not that expensive. There are cell phones in Japan doing this right now.
My money's on option one.
I'm going towards three. Because like I said, option one, it'd be cool, but I don't. Like I said, the DSi can do it. I don't see why you would need a whole new system. No. Nothing's confirmed as far as the power of this. Like, we talked about those DS2 rumors a couple weeks ago, where it's supposedly be as powerful as a GameCube. I don't know if that's going to be the case for this or not. We'll find out.
We were hearing DS2 rumors, and you know, then the DS, whatever, you know, the next DS shows up. I'm going to assume that this thing will be along that line.
But it will be shown at E3, so you might get to play one.
Well, I will get to play one. That'll be my goal. I imagine I'll be standing in a line for like 4 hours. But
and they are saying no later than, I think they said March in Japan. So my guess would be Christmas in Japan, March in U.S. for this. Scribble brought up a good point on Craig Austin, on Twitter. Does a 3D system really lend itself to touchscreen?
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, let's say it is the one I'm talking about where it actually is true 3D. You're going to be, like, touching through things then.
Well, see, if it's what I think, though, then it's not really so much 3D as in things popping out at you.
It's
but
just
so much
perspective.
There's depth to it.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm... See, for me, for video games, I'd be more interested in that whole... in the adding depth to it than to have things popping out at me so much.
Well, I mean, and that's what you know, any 3D technology can do, too. I mean, there's forward and backwards depth that you can achieve.
Sure. I mean, maybe just the top screen will be in 3D. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of ways they're probably going to go this. But it's going to be backwards compatible with the old DS games. We know that.
Right.
It's interesting, though. You think that this is kind of an Avatar-focused decision?
I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine they just had this idea in December. Like, they saw Avatar and they're like, oh, let's do this.
All right. But, you know what?
I find it strange that they would announce this before, like right before the DSi XL came out.
Well, I don't know. DSi XL, I don't think anyone's like excited about that.
Yeah, but I feel it might still hit that grandma demographic that people jokingly say it's targeted for. But if I'm like a, you know, me, and I was if I were considering a DSi XL because it's a bigger screen, and I hear this a week before, well, shit, I'll wait.
I think they're more excited about their next DS than they really even were about the DS XL.
Yeah.
I don't think internally there was a lot of excitement for that. I bet that was developed more by marketing than anything else.
Right, right.
But, I mean, you know what? I kind of forgot. Like, when this was announced, like, oh, this is a great idea. And I forgot. I saw, like, some article that reminded me. The Virtual Boy.
Yeah.
This happened.
This is the first time they've done this.
Right. And obviously, you know, there'll be a lot of jokes, but, you know, obviously this won't be like the Virtual Boy again, I'm assuming. Look, this is already a big hit. Let's go ahead and say that. This thing has already made millions of dollars.
I'm one of the few people who like the Virtual Boy.
Sure.
I wish I knew where ours was. It's somewhere. It has to be somewhere.
Sure.
See, here's what I decided was the problem with the Virtual Boy. You know what the pack-in game for the Virtual Boy was?
Mario Tennis.
No, it was Tetris.
No, that's not true. It was Mario Tennis.
Look at the boxes.
No, it's Mario Tennis.
I was just looking at the box for today. I know.
3D Tetris was not a pack-in.
I just looked at a picture of a Virtual Boy box today, and I'm telling you that it had a picture of Tetris on the box.
Maybe one of the later ones was bundled with it, but not initially. It came with Mario Tennis.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah, you better, because I'm telling you, it came with Mario. We had one. Did we have Tetris? No. But we certainly had Mario Tennis. Well, we had... No. We had Mario Tennis. Remember we played it in the hotel at the Sky Dome. The only game we had was Mario Tennis. I'm telling you. I know this. So while you go and look that up...
Here's a picture of a box. Oh, that does say tennis. It looked like Tetris before.
Oh, my God.
All right, I take it back. Excuse me.
That was a great game, so there. So that was the problem with the Virtual Boy, huh?
No. I was joking.
Good point, Edge guy. Good point. You know, it would have been better if maybe Wario was the pack-in title, but that wasn't ready yet.
Right.
How much do you think the 3D, as cool as it is or will be, it can't really, doesn't lend itself to affecting gameplay the way that motion sensing or touchscreen things do.
Well, I don't know, because, I mean, have you ever played a game in 3D? Aside from, like, the virtual reality things you used to play at malls?
Well, no, but look, the 3D itself isn't interactive.
Right, but I remember, the Area 5 guys, I remember they got to see the Avatar game running on a 3D TV, and, I mean, this is based on what they were saying about it, but they said that, like, it actually does help, like, especially when you're doing things like platforming, or even there was a level in the game where you were on one of the flying creatures just dodging, like, you know, branches and stuff. They said it actually does help with that just depth perception. Like, could you imagine being able to play, like, MLB 10 The Show and being able to actually see how far away from the plate the ball
is? Yes, I'm not saying it won't be cool, but, you know, maybe help things like that, but it's not like, there won't be anything like Kirby Canvas Curse. Which, like I said, oh, I see what touch controls can do for games.
I think what would be interesting, really, is a combination of motion and 3D. Like, take the PlayStation Move and have 3D vision where, like, you can actually reach out and, like, knock something over in a 3D space with that controller. That
sure.
Cool.
Some of those tech demos with the PlayStation Move we've been seeing lately have actually been pretty neat.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. There was that one that they showed where the guy was just kind of like drawing boxes in the sky and then like bending around a map and stuff like that. I thought that all looked really cool. Mm-hmm.
But once again, how useful is that, really? It looks neat, and it'd be kind of neat to do, but beside the novelty of it, I just don't...
Well, again, like, I mean, they actually just announced this week that there will be a Little Big Planet 2 that uses Move for, like, you know, creation.
Okay, that's
like that.
Good.
That could work.
Sure, but so and basically it's a mouse.
A 3D mouse.
Yeah, see? Okay, but, you know, we digress. Obviously, we know that a new Pokemon game is coming. I think it's safe to say that it'll be on this platform. And it would be the earliest that Pokemon game launch of a handheld system in a while. It would probably help it immensely.
Wait, where's this about a Pokemon game?
I told you this last week. They already been showing new Pokemon.
Oh, that's right. We did talk about that.
And when new Pokemon are around, the game's going. It's always that's the cycle, anyways. Now,
yeah,
you do the whatever and whatever color, and then you do the third one, and then you do the remakes from the other games and whatnot. And then you're back. So it's coming. Trust me.
All right. So the next thing.
Wait
we
a second.
Have,
you think?
Oh, I'm sorry,
you think? Real quick. Wii 2. You think it's going to kind of head in this direction? But the Wii can't. The Wii can't just. Be 3D because it's in the system. You know, I guess.
What do you mean?
Well, it would have to have a 3D TV.
Well, yeah, there's
they
that.
They can't control the display.
But I think to even be 3D, you have to have HDMI, which means you have to be HD.
Well, I'm assuming the next Wii will finally be HD.
Well, right.
Safe assumption.
2011.
Right. No, I'm done there.
Okay. So, moving down the order of importance, we do have confirmation, as many suspected, that a 250GB 360 hard drive is coming as a standalone retail product. It'll be $130, which is what the 120 is now. The 120 will go down to $99, and I don't know what'll happen to the 60.
All right.
So that's good. tell me if you could help me decipher this. Peter Molyneux. Well, let's see. The subject, or the title of the story on Destructoid is Fable 3 will be episodic. You know, Fable 2 had its kind of episodic re-release. Apparently, it was quite successful for them. So
was
I
it?
Read this. Yeah, they
that
said
actually
it did
well.
Yeah.
They say so.
So, here's how Peter Molyneux then defines this. I've often thought it would be brilliant to be walking through Charles Dickens' London. It was such a dark place and very episodic, too. So we're doing that with Fable 3. We'll give you the first big episodes, and you'll be able to download new episodes, which is analogous to the way Dickens wrote. Isn't that just releasing the game and then releasing DLC?
It's what everybody else has been doing, except when he does it, it's a parallel to Charles fucking Dickens. I love Molyneux. I love it. See, that's what's great about Molyneux. His games are no better than just about any other AAA game. Any other game that has that much money put into it can be just as good as Fable 2. But his bullshit, and you know, obviously Peter Molyneux is there for bullshit, but it's not, the secret is that even beyond just promising, his games aren't special. Like, at all. Nothing.
They're fine.
They're fun. They're fun. I play through them. Nothing important ever happened in Fable that changed a damn thing anybody thought about this industry. Nothing. Spore, as much crap as Spore gets, Spore probably, you know, somebody out there said, you know what, maybe we can do something like this. I'm thinking differently about video games right now. Nothing in Fable will ever do anything like that. What was one thing that Fable did that was not done before? Ever. Nothing.
Had a dog that was, well, it
dog
ran
in Fable
in front
2.
Of you.
You had a
it
dog in Fallout
you, right
1.
In front of you.
Oh, that was their most impressive tech.
Probably.
Okay.
Here's what I... Okay, let's keep the Peter love going. He then starts talking about Project Natal.
Oh, yeah.
He's talking with the Times Online, where he says, the Project Natal tech is so different and new that trying to get a focus group to look at and respond is almost impossible.
Now, really? to be fair,
you can't put people in a room and give them an hour with it and see what they think?
Now, he's talking specifically about whatever his project is, supposedly Milo,
yes.
Or whatever the hell. Not so much as Natal. I think he meant for this to be spun positively, but it's what it sounds like is focus groups don't like Natal.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I was reading it too. So I was like,
it sounds like he's showing focus groups, and they don't either understand how to use it or they aren't impressed with it.
Right.
But I think what it really means is that it's so innovative you can't even I think this is just
your mind can't comprehend.
Right, that's what he meant. Like, I'm sure the focus groups are just like anything else. If it's even being focus grouped. I mean, focus group tested yet. Toasted. Focus group toasted. That's what I like.
I just found it strange. I know, like, Tycho at Pinger Cades mentioned this a few times. It seems like Microsoft got suddenly very quiet about Natal in the wake of all the relatively good press Sony's been getting with the move.
Well, you know, you let them have their... And, you know what? Usually, I know that we're kind of used to that bickering after these kind of things. It's always been kind of pointless. Although I'm surprised they didn't respond to, like, a straight-up sort of challenge, as you would, from that commercial.
Right, right.
You know, lacking buttons. Like, I'm surprised they haven't had a defense for that.
Right.
Unless there's, like, something they won't want us to know yet, or, like, if they're rethinking it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure Natal have a pretty big showing at E3. Maybe they're just biding their time. Who knows? Nintendo hasn't responded to this kind of stuff in a while now, so that's not surprising.
Well, Nintendo doesn't need to.
No, right.
That's the thing. I think Microsoft does.
Yeah, it does. But see, a lot of this stuff, it only reaches the majority of us who will probably be getting these things anyways, you know.
Right.
Like the people who watch that YouTube-only video, not your average consumer.
All right, well, let's... one more thing to show before I say what I was going to say. iTunes Store now lets you gift apps. Kind of fun.
I didn't know... I'd assumed it let you do that.
No, you could gift iPhone credit. Like, I could send you $5 to use in the iTunes store, but I couldn't just, like, buy a 99-cent app and just give it to you.
Is that not as good?
Well, I think $5 was, like, the minimum. It was, like, buying points, essentially.
I get it. So you won't want to give somebody a $1 app for some reason?
Right, right.
All right. Fair enough.
And then, let's see, I was missing. No, okay. To take us home, I just have a series of, game announcements here. First of all, Persona 5 is confirmed.
This pleases me.
We don't know what it's for.
I'm assuming PlayStation 3.
I'm going with PSP on this. I think David was saying the same on Twitter, and I think he's right.
Well, it would certainly be easier. They certainly are very comfortable with that PlayStation 2 tech.
Right.
I'd be a little... I guess not disappointed, but come on. I want to see the big PS3 Persona.
I'm for that, too. Let's see. Then we have The Witcher 2. I'm excited.
The more witching, you know.
Yes.
Witchier. I didn't really get... I tried Witcher, and it was fine. I didn't get it. I know Mark loves it. And
it is
others
a cool
do.
Game.
Yeah.
Then, for the facepalm moment of the week, we have Fear 3, except it seems to be spelled F3AR.
Hey, I'm all in favor of replacing E's with 3's. I have no
problem. Driver
that.
Already did it.
Hey, look, E's, they look a lot like 3's, especially when you mirror them. So, you know, why not? They were going to make Tron 2 TR2N, and I liked it. They went back on that.
A 2 doesn't even look like a 0.
It kind of did the way they did it.
Right.
But, yeah, I know what you mean.
Of course, I still don't think it's as bad as Thief 4, which they're using the 4 for that E.
See, I like that, too. I thought it looked good. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know why I don't have a problem with these.
You're just so leet.
Yes. It's true. I still think leet speak is funny, and everyone else is kind of over it. I don't even think it's funny, I just think it's important. Like, a part of our heritage that we must keep.
Yeah.
But whatever.
And of course, on just a moment of tribute, we would like to say a fond farewell to actor Robert Culp, who sadly passed away today. He was known best to us as the voice of Dr. Wallace Breen from Half-Life 2.
Yes, yes. You know what? When people talk about great villains in gaming, Dr. Breen, he always seems to get sort of passed over for whatever reason. He's definitely one of my favorites.
Oh, yes. Well, there was I was listening to the newest Pixel Revolt today, and one of the articles they were discussing was about, like, basically really stupid game villains who don't really think their plans all the way through. Like, what is Bowser going to do once he successfully kidnapped the princess? No one really knows. So, like, and they were trying to think of, like, good gaming villains. And I was kind of sitting like, Breen, man, look at Breen. He's so great.
Right. Yeah, there are very many competent villains. Breen was good. Kefka was pretty good. Kefka got some evil shit done, man.
Yeah, he actually succeeded in destroying the world.
Yeah, I respect that. No, Breen was one of my favorites. That last level, I've said it before, that's one of my favorite things in a game ever. That last level when you have the super gravity gun, you're walking around and Breen's yelling at you through the monitors.
Once all the Steam stuff comes to Mac, I'm so replaying through all the Half-Life 2 games. Oh. I'm actually kind of excited for that.
Tell me, Dr. Freeman, you destroyed so much. What exactly is it that you have created? Could you name even one thing? I thought not. So good.
I know.
So good.
I loved how episode 1 started with that.
Yeah, episode, yeah.
They knew what they were doing.
All right. I hope they weren't planning on bringing Breen back.
I thought he already kind of met his end.
Yeah, but then
it's implied.
Is there an embargo on episode 2 spoilers yet?
I don't know.
That's not even.
Let's say it's not important.
Whatever. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? No. Okay, we'll talk about it later.
Okay, I think I know what you're talking about, but I think for the reason you're thinking he would be, I think he's not.
All right. Anyway, before you get me tempted, let's keep going.
Okay. So what'd you play?
What'd I play?
Yeah, that's all I got as far as news go.
All right. Okay, well, I actually got Cave Story.
Oh, did you? I'm going to get it. I just knew, like, there was no way I had time to play it at all this week, so I'm just going to wait until I get home.
Well, actually, I think it was sent to Shu.
Uh-huh.
But I think Shu either already played it or something. So he's gifted it to me.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah. And I'm going to do some sort of write-up on it at some point. But,
cool.
Yeah, so I got to play, like, about an hour of it so far, and it's really neat. You know,
it's basically like a Metroid game, right?
Sure, yeah, you know, that's the simple thing. It is. It's very much, you know, that Metroidvania kind of style, except, you know, I always heard so much about this game. I think you did, too. You're kind of wondering what the fuss was.
Yeah, and, like, I found out, like, it is a free PC game, but everyone's talking about how much better this one's going to be, so I intentionally stayed away from it. I figured I'd rather experience it in what is being called its best form.
Mm-hmm. For an independent game, it's pretty impressive. And, you know, the screenshots don't do it justice, because the way everything kind of animates and just looks, it's a really neat look to it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's got that, it definitely has that Metroid vibe to it, except a little bit more story than those games usually have, which I kind of dig so far.
Yeah, I was watching some videos of it the other day.
No, you know, it's really cool so far, and there's this kind of neat system where you enemies also kind of drop these experience things, and when you can level up a weapon so many times, like just a little bit, but every time you get hit, the weapon kind of digresses or whatever. So you have to kind of keep up with that instead of just health. If that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't know. I'm digging it so far. I'm having fun with it. There's a lot of bunny people in it, too, which I think is funny. Bunny people. That's all I have to say about Cave Story. Let's see.
Okay.
What else I play? Well, so more Final Fantasy. I have to say, the last, like, few hours of Final Fantasy, like, I'm assuming, I've been on the ending, but I thought it was the ending for, like, a week now. Like,
God.
Well, it's a little slow, the ending. It's, cause it's like all of a sudden you're in this part where, you know, I don't want to call it a dungeon, because, you know, it's like you're not in a castle or a cave or something, but you're basically running through areas, and it's just fight after fight after fight after fight for a long time. And there just aren't as many breaks for story, and it's actually less linear than, you know, everyone complains. So, it's just gone a little slow.
It seems odd.
Yeah, I know. I love the linearity before, really. But, yeah, the story kind of has just slowed down to a screeching halt right now. But, you know, I've got to be close to beating it.
Right.
So that's the problem, though. It's like, and JRPGs always do, so you kind of reach the emotional climax, like, 10 hours before the game ends.
Mm-hmm. See, I knew this was going to happen. Why did I even buy it? I should have just waited for you to finish it and played yours.
Why did you buy it?
I don't know.
You didn't seem excited at all.
You know what happened? It was like a day when we were still editing that film, and I got home at 11:45, and I was really tired and kind of delirious. And I had the gift card for my birthday, and I happened to see there was a midnight sale, and I was just kind of like, fuck it.
Well, no, I still say it's an awesome game. I still love it. I don't know,
like,
why.
I said, I just could have just played yours.
Well, actually, you can't, because after I'm done with it, I'm lending it to a friend in exchange for Heavy Rain.
That's right.
Yeah. Pokemans. Been playing my Pokemans.
Me too. Just caught a Geodude.
That's nice.
Not very far. I'll play a lot of it this weekend, I imagine.
I'm a bit further on my Pokemon, around level 25. It's Pokemon. Yeah, and I love Pokemon.
Not much has changed since 1998.
No, not really. Just little things that have helped things a lot. I still wish that it was faster to go to that Pokemon Center. I hate the little spiel the nurse has to go through every single time.
Well, it's like, that's just the case for me, like, with everything that happens. Like, every time you go get a damn berry from the tree, it has to pop out, and it has to play the little musical cue, and you have to read that you got a berry. And I'm like, look, I know. I get it.
Right. It's just, yeah, the pace can be a little slow sometimes. Well, just in that little things, but overall the game's well paced, I guess.
Yeah.
And you know, the DS graphics hold up really well. This really is one of the best designed Pokemon games, Gold and Silver. I'm really kind of noticing that now that I can kind of compare it to all the other ones more easily.
Mm-hmm.
I've been having a lot of fun with it. What did you play? I'm pretty sure I'm pretty much done.
Well, to transition, you and I played some StarCraft II beta together.
Oh, yeah, I beat you.
I suck at that game.
I beat you.
I like it, but man, do I suck.
I was so happy I beat you. It was the first game I ever won in that.
I just, like, I don't know why. I don't know what I do. I am so terrible at that kind of RTS. I'm awful at it. I'll admit it. But I don't get, like, what I'm doing wrong. Like, it's not like I have a ton of resources sitting around that I'm not using. I'm using all my resources. I just can't build shit as fast as everyone else. Like, I was, we played one game, it was a 2-on-2, you and I versus two random people. I was, like, all excited because I managed to build the one really big, like, mech walker that the Terrans have. And just as it finishes building, the dude rolls up to my base with three of them, plus a bunch of siege tanks. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, these people have, I'm assuming they've been playing StarCraft for some time.
Right.
This has never been our genre.
No, it just, like I said, I've always liked it.
Right.
But I like it when I'm able to play with people at my skill level, but that's hard to find for
me. You're more of a campaign kind of guy.
I am. Well, the problem is, and I realize this is part of a mental thing, and I try to overcome this and still seem to work, I like to be able to, like, turtle in and research all the way up the tech tree and have the really cool shit. Like, to me, if you're just going to go into the game and build, like, a shit ton of Marines and just attack someone in the first 5 minutes, like, what's the point of that? That's not fun.
Yeah, I see, as much as I kind of appreciate the game, I'm not really sure if I'm going to buy StarCraft II.
I will.
See, I just don't know what I'd really do with it.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm not even good enough to beat these campaigns usually in these games. I'm just terrible.
See, the campaign I could do.
I don't... And, you know, it just hasn't... As impressive as it is, it's just... I mean, I don't want to say I'm, you know, I just suck at it, because obviously these people that are beating the crap out of me, they just didn't turn the game on. They were great at it. They've been playing for a while. I've just never had the drive to play as much as them. I never had the drive to learn build orders.
It's the same problem I have with a lot of fighting games, too. Like first of all, between the fact that not only do I not care enough to sit down with a fighting game for any longer than a few months to really learn it, I can't sit down with just one character. Like, I have too much gaming ADD to sit there playing nothing but Akira and Virtua Fighter for 7 months.
That's why I can't do fighting games, because I love picking that one character, and, like, I'm going to beat the hell out of people with this character.
See, I can't do that. It gets boring to me. I need to keep changing characters, because I just like experiencing it differently.
See, no. I disagree with you. Disagree with you respectfully, sir.
That's why I can play first-person shooters fine online. I mean, really, FPSs don't vary too much from one to the other. Like,
right.
If you can play Modern Warfare, you can probably play Battlefield.
Right. Like
Company.
The basic FPS skills that I learned in Team Fortress 2, basic, Team Fortress Classic, have still been serving me to this day.
Right. Right.
You know, I can, I can jump into a game and, you know, do pretty good. Plus, with those games, you know, you can kind of suck and still be on a winning team, which is nice.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, you know what else I played? I played that Just Cause 2 demo.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up. That is fun.
It is fun. And I was kind of looking forward to it.
That game was a really good idea.
I was, I mean, first I have to say this. What the hell was Just Cause 1?
It wasn't bad. Basically.
When did it come out?
Like, launch of the 360.
Really?
It was pretty early. Basically, take the Just Cause 2, make the graphics to have that kind of just up-res Xbox One look, and take out the grappling hook.
Was it an open world game?
Yeah.
I don't remember it at all.
It was a lot more of the traversal was based around getting into vehicles and doing that stunt jumping.
Uh-oh.
But this game's all about that grappling hook, and
right.
It's fun.
Right, it is.
It is really fun to just zip around with that thing.
I'm kind of like worried that like it'll be very kind of Grand Theft Auto to me, where I won't really give a damn about missions and stuff like that. I kind of just want to run around.
But see, that's what's kind of good about it, too, is, like, as far as I can tell from the demo, which, like, after you get through the tutorial area, you just get a half hour to play the game, basically, and then it resets. Like, just fucking around in the world is the mission.
I hope so.
Like, there's missions
where it's like, all right, go meet this guy, and you're going to be in this vehicle and drive here and do this.
Well, there is. There is that, too. See? Like, there is a mission in the demo I got to do where it was go to this base, find the guard with the key card, now grapple onto this helicopter, ride it to this vehicle envoy, jump to a truck, jump from truck to truck, taking the guys out, get in the truck with the guy, hijack it, drive back to this base, and drop him off.
See, that's just too much, like, direct orders.
It is, but it has two things going for it. First of all, like I said, it's not too often in a game where you're told to climb to the roof of this building, latch onto this helicopter, jump on that car down there, and start jumping from car to car. It's very exciting. And like I said, I don't know how vital those are to the game. It seems like really it's just about creating chaos, which is like a strange kind of currency in the game, I guess. And I think the missions are just a more focused way of generating chaos, but you can just go around blowing shit up.
Right. I don't know. See, this is why Crackdown was so brilliant, though, to me.
Yeah.
Crackdown was just, go kill these guys. Here's the ones you have to kill. We're not going to tell you how to do it. You know, just go get them. That was so good.
The sense I got from this is kind of in between Grand Theft Auto and Crackdown, leaning a little more towards Crackdown.
Okay.
Which I'm fine with.
No, I mean, you know, I definitely like the gimmicks. And any open world game these days needs a good gimmick.
Yeah,
and the parachute grappling hook thing, you know, works really well.
The only concerns I had from the demo was, like, it'll auto-lock onto enemies when you're shooting, but to grapple in the environment, you have to have really, like, pinpoint precision for it. And sometimes,
right.
Like, you will keep, like, you'll sit there, like, trying to grapple onto something, like an antenna, and you'll keep missing. And there was one area I got to where I had to, like, the thing that I needed to destroy to get the most chaos in this settlement was, like, at the basement of, like, this kind of missile silo.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And every time you just jump down a little bit, it puts you in that free-fall animation, and then you just hit something and die.
And then trying to get out because the camera was kind of freaking out with the really
tight
corridor,
seems like,
I died.
And the demo's a little buggy to me. Maybe the full game's more polished. I don't know.
Yeah. But all in all, I really enjoyed it.
No, me too. I thought it was really neat. Something I would like to try.
It's going to be one of those games where, like, much like Crackdown, you're going to have those water cooler moments that everybody seems to like so much, where you're going to talk about something crazy you did where you, like, latched onto a helicopter and jumped out of that and knocked some guy off a motorcycle below you and then rode that off a cliff, you know, all that crazy
shit. It actually seems very Red Faction Guerrilla-ish.
Yeah, everything's very destructible and everything.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Yes. Let's see, what else did I play? I feel like there's something else. Oh, the
Splinter Cell?
No, I talked about that last week, didn't I?
I'm pretty sure not.
Oh, I didn't?
I don't think so. Did you?
Did I? I had to. That demo came in on Thursday.
What'd you say about it? Did you like it?
I did like it. Yeah, I did talk about it, because that demo came out Thursday, and we recorded on Friday.
Maybe I just wasn't paying attention.
That must be it.
Whoops. I have a pencil on my nose.
Oh, okay. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there anything else you played?
I feel like there's a downloadable game. Oh, I played that game room thing today a little bit that Microsoft released. You know, they're like kind of classic arcade collection doohickey. I played some Scramble, actually, to be specific.
That's fascinating.
Well, here's a weird choice they made for this. I don't know how I felt about it. They, I think this is universal. They have a rewind button. Like, you hit the left trigger and just time rewinds in whatever game you're playing. So I beat Scramble, which I don't think you're supposed to really be able to do. And anytime I died, I was like, fuck it, rewind, rewind, rewind.
Are you ready for my tweet of the week?
I thought it was of the month.
No, it's of the week.
Damn it. All right, fine.
I give two worlds. No, I'm joking. One for each world. All right.
Do you have a tweet of the week?
Yes, I do. There's a big eruption over what do you call pop? Because it's pop. Do you call pop soda or pop?
And I call it soda.
You count the nut? What? Shut up. You don't.
Yes, I do. No.
I am so unreasonably mad right now. I am literally tongue-tied. No, you don't. You've always said pop. What are you talking about?
I do around you, because I did as a kid. But ever since I got to Pittsburgh, it started to become soda.
It's like 50 miles away. It's not like moved to California.
Mike, you don't know what it's like here. They call rubber bands gum bands, and they call sprinkles jimmies, okay?
How can you have conformed to that? Look, here's my tweet. It's pop. Soda is something that Archie, Betty, Veronica, and Jughead drank.
Which is true.
Yes.
They all went down to Pop Tate's chocolate shop and had a malted.
Right. Exactly. They had their soda. Listen, how can you have betrayed us on this? Everyone on... It was basically me and Akron. Just... Oh, come on. You're terrible. How can you have... You're joking.
No.
Well, soda sounds so stupid. How can you say it with a straight face? Oh my God. Then Rampant was saying there in Toronto, I guess, they just call it, everything's just called Coke.
Well, no, she's from Texas originally.
Oh, well, she was from Texas.
Yeah, it's a southern thing. In the south, it's just all pop or soda or whatever is called Coke.
Why did I think she was from England? Wasn't there some thing with them trying to, like, get her into... Oh, it's probably from America to Canada.
Yeah.
I remember there was some sort of thing with customs. There's some sort of...
Yeah, remember that adorable PowerPoint?
Right, except I thought it was she was from England. I don't know why I thought that.
No, she's from Texas.
All right. My mistake, Rampant. Forgive me. You're so... Akron Young believes in me, at least. Okay.
Alex R. Kronkian?
Yeah. I said Akron because we have a city around here named Akron, and that's what it reads like on his Twitter.
Yeah, that's
thing.
What his Twitter, I'm looking at now. It does look like
I always read it as Akron. Kronk. I'm sorry, Alex. Kronk. No, we have a city named Akron, though, like, right by us. Okay. Yeah. Is there anything else you played?
I just played more Mass Effect 2.
You haven't beaten it yet?
No, well, I don't get to play it much, but, like, and the thing is, when I do play, I play really slowly, because I do every dialogue option, I scan every
planet. You can do the side quest after you beat the game, you know.
Let's do them now.
You could beat it, though, and then do other things.
I'm still doing, like, all the character missions.
Yeah, I know. You can do those. Assuming you don't let them die.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Well, dude, what I did. I was just paranoid about it. I just kept doing it until I had no one die on me.
Yeah.
Because the first time I did, I had a freaking awesome character die on me, and I was like, no. I'm not going through Mass Effect 3 without him. Screw that. You know when I think you'll beat Mass Effect 2? Huh. Right before Mass Effect 3 comes out. That's sort of your pattern.
That's not true.
When did you beat Metal Gear Solid 3?
Like the day Metal Gear Solid 4
yeah.
came out.
You like you played it in like one marathon session.
Yeah.
We hated Metal Gear Solid 3 so unreasonably for so long.
Did you see this new Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker video they put up?
Why? What's wrong with that? I didn't see it. What's wrong with
it? It's like some girl, I presume, from the game singing some J-pop song. Well, like Solid, or not Solid Snake, but
Naked Snake. Big
is
boss.
Like watching some dudes do CQC on a beach. I'm just so sick of their bullshit.
Snake watching people do CQC on the beach is in the demo. You remember that.
Yeah, but while like some girl singing J-pop?
It's just part of the video, I'm sure. Don't get that upset about it.
No, it's like a character from the game.
Okay. She sings a song at some point. Don't let that ruin the game for you. You have to stop letting everything that's Japanese make you mad.
I don't like it, though.
Oh, get over it. God. I hate RPGs now. I only like Western RPGs that pretty much aren't RPGs, but shooters. Like Fallout and Mass Effect.
Yep.
Shut up.
Yeah, I like Dragon Age and Oblivion.
Yeah. Dragon Age is next. Oh, this is a brand new wand. Everyone will have wands that look like guns. Be great.
like in Franzibald's Songs of the Sorcellator.
Yeah, I never liked that series in Penarcade.
Oh, I think they're hilarious. A grim, shadowy figure walks into the tavern. It is Grim Shadow.
All right. Is there anything else?
I don't know.
What are you
I
doing?
I feel like we should be talking more.
Well, what are you looking forward to at PAX?
Okay, I closed my schedule.
Don't tell me your whole schedule, but what are you looking forward to? From the top of your head.
One thing I really am looking forward to, and hopefully I'll be able to get into the line for it, is I really want to have Gabe and Tycho sign my copy of The Splendid Magic of Penny Arcade. Like, that's like a big priority for me.
Yeah, me too.
Because, I mean, honestly, here's the thing. This is going to sound really cheesy.
Yeah, probably
but,
like, is.
I really appreciate what those guys do. Like, probably more than most people would. Because, you think about it. For the last 11 and a half years, not only have they made a really damn good webcomic that not too often is not funny. Like, I'd give them a 95% success rate, which is pretty good. But you just look at things like PAX that we get to go to and Child's Play and things now like the PATV
series. I don't see why you think other people don't appreciate them. They seem to get plenty of love.
Oh, I know. But like,
but you're their number one fan.
No, it's just, to me, personally, it feels really important to just be able to go in front of them face-to-face and just say, like, thank you.
See, you have a celebrity problem too much.
I do
you
not.
Yeah, oh, you please, you embarrass me. Don't make me repeat what you said to Billy Crystal on here.
All I said was thank you.
You said thank you for so many things.
That's not
what that is so what you said. Oh, my God.
Well, I had 3 seconds to talk to him. I couldn't really get out much more than that.
Like Billy Crystal, some big part of your life. You saw City Slickers like the month before.
It wasn't the month before.
Yeah, it was that year.
It was a few months before.
Yeah, please. I loved Monsters, Inc., though. All right. Look.
But outside of that, I'm really looking forward to getting to finally meet a lot of the squad members. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, well, here. I hope all the squad members know this, too. I know for sure a bunch are coming, but there's a Bitmob meetup on
Friday night.
What time's that start? I thought this would be on my schedule, but it's not.
Let me double check. Keep talking.
But there's going to be a Bitmob meetup. It's at a restaurant that's fairly close to everything.
It's at a place called the Poor House. It's like across the street.
Right. What time's it start?
Still looking.
Okay, Friday at 7. I found it first. Thank you.
Okay, good job.
It starts at 7, though. So it's after that day's events. It's like before the concerts that night, though, because you still want to go to those. But, you know, the concert's at 8:30, so come at 7. Again, we'll get to meet up. It'll be fun. Like, you know, if there's any Exploding Barrel listeners here, even though, you know, it's a Bitmob meetup, feel free to come.
Yeah, we'll hijack it.
We'll be there.
Yeah.
We probably will with all the squad members we're bringing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but,
I'll participate at Bitmob, too, for the most part.
Right. You know, I'll tell you what, I've been feeling very press-y the last few weeks, because I'm getting, because I register for PAX as press, under Bitmob, I'm getting all these emails from people. It's, you know, like, oh, come see your game at PAX. And some of them, you know, whatever. But I'm going to get this, you know, Rockstar is going to be showing me and the other Bitmob people Red Dead Redemption. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then I'm also going to, I'm going to go see Puzzle Quest 2. They're going to, the developers are going to show me Puzzle Quest 2. I think that's pretty neat. I was a big fan of Puzzle Quest. That was still my favorite. That's probably my favorite Exploding Barrel moment, was when they announced they had that contest to see what they were going to name the expansion pack for Puzzle Quest, and they had a contest for it, and the winner was Revenge of the Plague Lords or something like that. And I just thought it was the stupidest name. My question was always, what lost? I wonder if I can ask them that.
Yeah. See all the conversations going.
Right.
Just have to, you know, get a sense. Oh, what else are you really looking forward to?
Naughty Dog is doing a panel that I'm pretty excited about. Just because, yeah. I think I'm well established now as a sort of Uncharted fanboy at this point. Which, whatever, yeah, I'll live with that. Fine, go ahead. I am not ashamed at all. Yeah.
How dare you, like, one of the greatest games
ever.
Yeah,
that's what I say. Like, am I an Uncharted fanboy? Well, yes. Did you play Uncharted? That's the one game I still just never get people not liking. They're out there. Sorry, Aaron. Of Bitmob. I don't know. Just that, you know, getting to see the Penny Arcade. Getting to see Will Wheaton will be fun for me. Because I hate to say it, because I know you kind of have to escape that whole, you know, in Star Trek thing. But for me, it really is all about Star Trek. He was in Star... you know, he was there, man. You know, seeing... This will be the first time I saw somebody who was in Star Trek. You know, now Star Trek's real. You know, before, those people may as well have been in space. There was a Next Generation marathon on Sci-Fi the other day, and, you know, I was watching again, and, you know, I still watch Next Generation occasionally now, because, you know, I've already seen every episode, like, a few times at this point, but I was watching the marathon, I was just having so much fun. Then, ironically, I was watching a Law & Order Special Victims Unit marathon yesterday.
Yeah, I saw you tweeting about that. I was like, what are you
I ended up
about?
Watching, like, I never saw this show before in my life. I ended up watching 6 episodes of Law & Order Special Victims Unit. I was engaged. And let me tell you something. There are no happy endings in Law & Order Special Victims Unit. Okay? No one's even ever just raped. It's never just... They're raped and murdered. Yeah, they're special victims, all right. Yeah, it was fun. The last one was great because it was like the three popular girls murdered somebody in high school. I'm like, yeah, that's right. Take that, you popular pricks. I guess not really pricks, though, because prick is a word for penis. And these are girls.
What's going on?
Converse with me. Go on.
Yeah, I wonder if anyone's still listening.
I can't imagine why not. Yeah, we kind of hijacked the show at this point. What was the last thing we talked about video games? I guess we're talking about PAX.
Sort of.
Mm. I'm looking forward to Uncharted. I'm looking forward to meeting all the Bitmob and Squadron of Shame people. The only Squadron of Shame member I've ever met was George, who sadly won't be here.
Yeah, we met him in Florida last May.
He won't be here. But, I mean, Pete's going to be there. Baze is going to be there. Is Chris going?
Both Chris's are going.
Interesting. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people there. Very excited. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I think we can wrap this up. It's actually pretty long, all things considered. For as much as we have planned going into this show,
yeah,
we got a decent amount out of it.
I didn't even type the news. I was just reading off my Google Reader list.
All right. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. We're going to be at PAX. We'll have a show up at some point the weekend. Maybe, you know, there's some bizarre circumstances.
Maybe I'll put it up Sunday night while you're watching WrestleMania.
You better watch WrestleMania with me. Good I don't boy. See how you... For crying out, this is the best WrestleMania card
I know since WrestleMania 17. I'd love to watch it with you, but I have to drive our ass.
Listen,
back
listen. Kofi Kingston got added to Money in the Bank last night or Monday night.
I know. I saw his tweet.
You saw his tweet. Come on, man. Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker. Streak versus a career. Come on. Cena, Batista. That's huge. Edge, Jericho. Come on. CM Punk, Rey Mysterio. Yes, please. Legacy. There's so much going on. It's incredible. Anywho, once again, we have somehow strayed.
That gives me a podcast idea. We should do like a wrestling podcast with like someone like you who follows all this stuff real close and someone like me who's like, eh.
See, I don't see how that's engaging. It seems to be like the problem is that you don't care about wrestling. What would you do the whole time? Say, oh, well, I don't really care.
I try to contribute. I try really hard, but yeah. I don't really know what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I know. That'd be...
You just have to keep correcting.
Yeah, that's awesome. I can't imagine why no one would want that one. Hey, where's that Last Planet Mickey, by the way?
It's coming.
Yeah, it's coming tonight. That's what you're doing after this.
I'm going to clean my apartment and go to bed.
Incorrect. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Like I said, we'll have another show up at some point this weekend, hopefully with fantastic special guests. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. By the way, you know, follow that so that you know when the show's coming, because we'll say something on there.
Yeah, and we'll be tweeting from PAX, both of us on our private accounts. I manage to Edge Guy and Tolkota on Twitter. If you want to see what we're up to.
Right. Who's winning the Twitter race, by the way? How many followers do you have?
I have 260 followers.
What? I have 152. How many people are you following?
242.
How many followers do you have?
I have 260 followers.
So you have more followers than following? See, I've wanted...
Well, a lot of these are bots. I haven't cleaned this in a while.
I have 119 following... I'm following 119. I have 152 followers. Damn.
Like, I think McAnus 50 is a bot.
That's my good friend.
I'm just going to go ahead and block that one.
McAnus from something. You know what I haven't done? I haven't been doing much raiding. I feel like I'm burning out. It just hasn't been. It hasn't been this way. It hasn't been the same. Just sad because we never did down on this. But it's just, you know, every Sunday there's something I have to do. All right, that's enough. Look, bye everyone.
Yeah, go away.